Amen. We're glad that you're here. Next couple nights, we're expecting some other churches, so I'd expect you to get here early and get your seats. Push all those other Baptists to the back, all right? Make sure you get the good seats. We're going to have a great time this week, and we're so excited Brother Bruce Fry is here with us. I want you to come into the gym after. If you need the restrooms, you can go in. You can go around the front, and you can get to the restrooms that way. Or if you'd like to, after the service, come on in. He has a table here with some CDs, but also some of his gospel tracks, and it tells how God changed his life. And there's a before picture and an after on the back, all right? And Brother Fry, I was just sharing this with somebody, and they said, oh, my, you look like a girl. So I won't tell you who said that, but amen. Let's sing some songs tonight. We'll sing a couple that you know. We'll just sing the first verse. You don't have any hymn books. And so then maybe we'll take some favorites later on. Let's sing Jesus Saves, all right? You can just remain seated. We're just going to relax this week. 325, which means nothing to you. Jesus Saves. Sing, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There will never be a sweeter story. Sing it out.
There will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine, the love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinner soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Let's try the last verse. Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Let's sing it so they can hear us at Walmart. Let's sing the last verse.
Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, so can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?
Somebody shout out a favorite. Jesus Loves Me. Do you know that one? All right, she's going to look it up in the hymn book. What's the hymn number, Janet? You don't know. All right, we'll find it in just a second. Jesus Loves Me. Mrs. McPherson has been teaching junior kindergarten, senior kindergarten since 1987. Is that right? 1987, every Sunday morning, she teaches the 5 and 6 year olds, or 4 and 5 year olds, since 1987. So it's no wonder this is her favorite song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. What a great reminder. Let's sing it tonight.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it now.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweet
presence of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Let's sing that fourth verse together.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
We're so glad that you're here this week. Don't be afraid to invite your friends. Just please tell them to bring a lawn chair. We don't want them to come and not have something comfortable to sit in. But we'd love to have as many people would like to come. And we've got lots of room. We can crank the sound up so that they can hear it all the way to the back 40. All right? So we're going to have Brother Fry make his way to the platform. We're so glad that he's here. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on our time together. Austin Fury, would you stand and use a preacher's voice and pray for us tonight, please? Amen. All right, Brother Fry just arrived a few hours ago. We picked him up in Buffalo, so he might be a little bit tired, but I'm glad that he made it and he's here. And we already managed to get him some Swiss Chalet for lunch. We got a late lunch, but he tried that out. Didn't like the sauce so much. That's a Canadian thing, isn't it? And we really enjoy that. But we're glad that he's here and he's going to minister to us. Now, I want you to do this. Sunday morning, you don't want to miss the open hour of Sunday school. Brother Fry is going to share with us some things that, as even a child, decisions he made that put him on the wrong path. But then in the morning service, he's going to preach about how God saved him from all of that. So you want your kids here to hear this. It's important. It's amazing that how even as 10 and 12 years old, we can make decisions that will affect us the rest of our lives if we're not careful. So I'm excited about that. And you'll want to be here. He's going to sing two or three for us now, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good evening to you. It's good to be here. Like I did fly in, and my arms are tired. Now, that's the old standard there. You know, sometimes the jokes that I tell go over about like screen windows on a submarine, about like that one did. But let me tell you this one I just heard. That's just to break the ice here a little bit. You know, I fly a lot, and I heard this one about an airplane. This lady got on the airplane. And she had a little baby in her arms, and she sat down in her seat, and this fellow sat down beside her, and he looked at her, and he looked at the baby, and finally he couldn't hold it back, and he said, "Ma'am, I wasn't going to say anything, but I think that's just about the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my life." And I mean, she went ballistic. She started screaming and yelling, got all mad at him, and the stewardess came by and said, "What's going on here?" And she said, "This man has offended me." And he said, "Well, we can find him another seat. We just don't hit him anymore." So they moved him to another seat, and the lady was still upset. So the stewardess went to the pilot and said, "Look, you need to come talk to this lady. She's really upset. This man said something to her. I don't know what happened." So the pilot went back there, and he said, "Ma'am, I don't know exactly what happened here." She said, "Well, I've been offended." And he said, "Well, I heard that. Look, we've moved that man to another seat. And if there's anything that we could do that would help you, we'll give you a free meal. We'll give you something free to drink. We'll even give you a banana for your monkey. Whatever would help you." And so there you have it. All right. She's having a bad day all the way around. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for allowing me to come. Thank you for flying me here. Thank you for the hotel room and whoever put the basket together. I've already got in that basket and had some of them chocolate peanuts. That was good to me. But I appreciate it very much. Thank you for taking care of me. Well, I'm going to start out singing a song that my brother wrote. He walked into a Radio Shack one day. And as he walked in the store, the man behind the counter knew my brother. So he said, "Hey, Brother Sammy." And he said, "How are you doing?" And my brother always says this when people ask him that question. He said, "Better than I deserve." Walked on in the store, and there was a man and a woman at the counter. And the lady left her husband paying the bill and walked over to my brother and said, "Son, I heard what you said when you came in, and it offended me." And he said, "I'm not sure what you're talking about, ma'am. What do you mean?" She said, "You said better than I deserve." She said, "Don't you realize that you deserve a lot?" He said, "Oh, I see what you're saying." He said, "Ma'am, you have to understand something. I'm a born-again Christian, and anything better than hell and the grave is better than I deserve." And then he went home and wrote this song entitled "Better Than I Deserve." So how you doing tonight? Some of you got it, some of you didn't. That's all right. Thank you, Lord, for giving me forgiveness without end. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary, your love for sinful man. Thank you for your mercy and for grace that never ends. For loving me unselfishly when so unlovely I have been. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve, that no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for family, for kind and precious friends. I thank you for a faithful wife, my dearest and best friend. Grateful for eternal life and for purpose in my pain. For helping me to realize that to die for me is gain. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve. And no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. Thank you for your presence and for strength to carry on. I thank you for the peace of God when trials linger on. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve. And no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. Yes, no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, you know, there's several of you have come up and asked me about my health issues, and I want to thank you so much for those of you that have been praying for me. They thought that I had some cancer in my leg, and they found out that it was not cancer. When they opened it up to take out whatever was in there, it exploded, and I lost 2 liters of blood and had to stay in the hospital a few days, and They said it was a vascular thing. They're still trying to figure out what it is. They're not sure, but they sewed me back up, and I've been fine. I'm supposed to go back and have an MRI in a couple of weeks so they can take another look at it and stuff. But, again, I just want to thank you for those of you that have been praying for me. Thank God for looking after me while I was in there. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. God always, every time God does something like that in my life, I know he's always up to something. He's trying to put somebody in my path that I can share the gospel with, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit here tonight in just a few minutes. But I'd like to sing a song now just for fun. How many of you men, when it comes to Christmas, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, birthdays, things like that, have a hard time finding that special gift for your wife? It's just me? Are you with me, men? All right. Well, this song will help you and give you an idea for the upcoming events, all right? And remember, this is just for fun, all right? She said everyone has got one, so my wife wants one too. A knee-length fuzzy fur coat and nothing else will do. She said it'd make her classy and make me proud of her if I'd break down by her fur. Well, it got me to thinking, how am I gonna swing that sort of deal? Well, I sure don't have the money, and I know it's wrong to steal. But the problem finally solved itself like a bolt out of the blue. Jumped right out in front of me on Highway 22. Now that big old German Shepherd, my car he did not see. Now he's in doggy heaven, but his hide belongs to me. So I went down in the basement, yes, I worked hard every night. It was mostly trial and error, but I finally got it right. And I put it in a cardboard box and carried it upstairs to her. Oh, she was tickled pink, see that fur. Now she's got a fancy fur coat that reaches all the way to her knees. But she's been complaining lately, said her closet's full of fleas. And she don't know old Fido is wrapped around her tight. She's putting on the dog when she goes out at night. Well, she's been depressed here lately since I backed out over the cat. But I think she'll feel much better when I give her this new fur hat. So take it and run with it, man, all right? I think the women enjoyed that better than the men did. All right. Well, I heard you have some winters up here. You might need a fur coat for long. But I'm going to play one more song, and then we're going to open the Word of God, and I'm going to play another couple of songs in the middle of this. But I want you to know that I am excited to be here with you, and I pray that something that God will allow me to say will be a help to you. And I do have the table full of CDs and things like that. And I always tell churches, I don't need your money, but the people I owe, they need it real bad. So if you can help me out, I'll appreciate that, all right? Well, I'm going to do another song that kind of goes along with the message. And it goes like, well, I'm going to go ahead and get my notes out here so I don't mess up here. All right. Well, it's funny how we do it, compartmentalize. We plan for success and try to pass the pain right by. But it just doesn't work that way. God has a different plan. He works in ways we'd never see beyond the scope of man. So when the journey takes a detour unexpectedly, and I try to accept and understand what it all means, when I'm pressed to show the world what I really believe, I will trust you, Lord. And my heart begins to faint because I see a life so frail, and my soul cries out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, with my life. Now, I may not understand it, and even question why. What good could ever come from this has even crossed my mind. God's teaching me to trust Him more as He works His will in me. I rest securely in His care, and surrender sure is sweet. So when the journey takes a detour unexpectedly, and I try to accept and understand what it all means, and when I'm pressed to show the world what I really believe, I will trust You, Lord. My heart begins to faint because I see a life so frail, and my soul cries out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, with my life. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you want to open them to Acts chapter 16 with me this evening. If you know that's all right, I'll be reading the Word of God, and you can follow along that way. Before I get into the Scripture here, I'm going to try to get this here where everything's not going to be blowing away on me. Know if that's going to work or not. We'll see. All right. I'm going to read a couple little poems here. Well, one little poem and then A couple other things. It is easy enough to be pleasant when life flows by like a song, but the man worthwhile is that man who can smile when everything goes dead wrong. For the test of the heart is trouble, and it always comes with the years, and the man who is worth the salt of the earth is the man who can smile through his tears. Here was a prayer that was written by an unknown member of the Lenore family in October 1863 during the Civil War in the States. Fit us, we pray thee, for any trials which may await us, if it should be thy will that we are driven from our home, deprived of temporal comforts. Give us strength to bear it and to look forward to those eternal blessings which are promised to the truly faithful. O, strengthen our faith that we may be able to trust thee in the darkest hour of our trials here. And you know, as we live this Christian life, we're all going to be facing some trials coming down the road from time to time, because the Bible talks about that, and we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to bring you a message entitled, The Rest of the Story. You know, no matter what we go through on this earth, God knows what we're going through, and He's already got everything planned out. Sometimes we try to get ahead of Him here and there. I've done that myself in times. But you're either here tonight, you're either in a trial, or you're just coming out of a trial, or you're headed for a trial, for such is life. I want to read another poem. This is called My Trouble. My troubles have come and my troubles have gone. More trouble is on the way. For one thing is sure, my troubles endure, for my trouble will meet me today. So often I've tried just simply to hide my face from its long gazing stare. Yet running my best from east to the west, I find that my trouble's still there. From dusk until dawn, my troubles roll on, and it seems that my troubles won't end. But then as I look in the words of God's book, I find there that trouble's my friend. Spurgeon wrote this quote, God will not forget His children, nor will He forsake our care. His compassion is enduring even when we're unaware. Maybe you're here and you're a little brokenhearted, maybe discouraged, maybe even asking God why. You know, I've heard some people say you should never ask God why, but I remind them that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know, I think it's okay to ask God why, but when you ask Him why, remember this, He may give you an answer, He may make you wait for an answer, and you may never get your answer until you see Him in glory. That's all totally up to Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just not as close to God as you used to be. Can I remind you that the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee, never forsake thee. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I change not. And any time that we feel a distance from God, it's not that God has moved, it's that we have moved. I'm reminded, my granddaddy used to have an old pickup truck back in the day, and it was one of those Chevrolet pickup trucks that had the seat that went all the way across. It had the three gears on the column. And my granddaddy never used second gear. I don't know why. He would start out in first, go on, and whoa. I remember I asked him one time, I said, Granddad, why don't you use second gear? He said, I don't need it, boy. And I said, well, it sounds like you need it because we're not getting up the hill here. You know what I'm saying? But there was a time when Grandma and Granddad were riding down the road. They saw a young couple in front of them, and you couldn't put a piece of paper in between that couple. They were so close together. Grandma's sitting over here, and Granddad's driving, and she looked at him, and she said, Daddy, remember when we used to ride like that? And he looked at her and said, I ain't moved. And such it is with God. When we feel a distance from Him, He's not moved. It's us. So I want you to be thinking about that. As I'll be sharing my testimony Sunday morning with you, my brother Sammy wrote me a letter back in 1997 when I was going through a hard time and I was reading the Bible. I was searching for God at that time in my life. And my brother wrote me a letter, and I still have that letter, and I get it out and read it from time to time. And right in the middle of that letter, my brother wrote these words, Bruce, God has a perfect plan for your life. And guess what? I didn't know it then, but I know it now. God had a perfect plan for my life, and He has a perfect plan for your life. But you know what? We don't know what His perfect plan is until, first of all, we know the perfect person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we get in the perfect book, and this is where we find God's perfect plan for our life. So I want to sing this song, and then we'll open the Word of God, all right? your hope is almost gone and the wind is blowing strong. And heaven seems so silent when you pray. When your faith is turned to fear and you can't hold back the tears, and friends no longer know quite what to say. When you looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Think of Job and how he suffered, and the glory of his praise, when you just can't seem to face another day. In the trial, God is faithful. He will give sufficient grace. Count your blessings, bow the knee, and walk by faith. When you looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. The Lord knows every step you take, every teardrop in your eye. Though often we may not understand, our Father has a perfect plan. When you looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Our Father has a perfect plan. Well, amen. I'm going to have to get back here. The wind blew my spot. In Acts chapter 16, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture because I'm going to be going through this here in just a second. In Acts chapter 16, and I will read verse 31, and then we'll pray. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word and the preaching of this message tonight. And Lord, I especially pray if there's a brother or sister in Christ and they're going through the trials of life and they're a little discouraged, that you would use this message to encourage them tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this pastor, his family, and this church family and their kindness having me here. And Lord, I know that nothing's going to happen here tonight of eternal value unless you come down and meet with us in a very special way. So we invite your presence, the Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me, and use me. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You know, when we read the stories of Jacob and Gideon and Peter and others in the Bible, we can see how God used them, even though they might not even have started well. We can always see how everything ended for them because we have the rest of the story right here in the Word of God. But we don't know the rest of our story because it hadn't been written yet. God is still writing the rest of our story. How many of you have ever heard of a guy? Now I'm trying to think of his name. You know, sometimes for me, the first thing to go to the memory is hard to recall that second thing. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I can't remember his name, but he had a radio show, and it was called The Rest of the Story. Anybody remember that guy? You remember his name? Because I sure can't right at this point. But anyway, this is one of those stories, and I want to read it to you very quickly. It's called A Dreamer and His Dream. Let me tell you, Jesse hated this job, and you would too if you had to do it. Jesse was a chicken plucker. He stood in a chicken factory, spent his days pulling feathers off dead chickens. Wasn't much of a job, but at that time, Jesse didn't think he was much of a person. His father was a brute of a man. His dad actually thought to be mentally ill and treated Jesse rough all of his life. His older brother wasn't much better. He was always picking on Jesse and beating him up. Jesse grew up in a very rough home in West Virginia. Life was anything but easy. And he thought life didn't hold much hope for him. That's why he was doing this job in a chicken line few people wanted. In addition to all the rough treatment at home, it seems that he was always sick. Sometimes it was real physical illness, but way too often it was all in his head. He was a small child, skinny and meek, and that sure didn't help the situation any. When he started school, he was the object of every bully on the playground. He was a hypochondriac of the first order. For Jesse, tomorrow was not always something to be looked forward to, but he had dreams. He wanted to be a ventriloquist, and he found books on ventriloquism, and he practiced with sock puppets, saved his hard-earned dollars until he could get a real ventriloquist dummy. When he got old enough, he joined the military, and even though his hypochondriac symptoms persisted, the military did recognize his talents and put him in the entertainment corps, and that's when his world changed. He gained confidence. He found he had a talent for making people laugh, and laugh so hard they often had tears in their eyes. Yes, little Jesse had found himself. You know, folks, the history books are full of people who overcame a handicap to go on and make a success of themselves. But Jesse is one of the few I know of who didn't overcome it. Instead, he used his paranoia to make $1 million and become one of the best-loved characters of all time in doing it. That little paranoid hypochondriac who transferred his nervousness into a successful career still holds the record for the most Emmys given in a single category. The wonderful, gifted, talented, and nervous comedian who brought us Barney Fife was Jesse Don Knotts. And now you know the rest of the story. But what's the rest of your story going to read like? Are you trying to write the rest of your story by yourself, or are you trusting God so he can write it for you? You know, if you trusted him for salvation of your soul, can you not trust him in every area of the rest of your life? Listen to this verse, Psalm 56:13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? And here in this Bible story that we see, this account in the Word of God, in Acts chapter 16, we see two men, Paul and Silas, who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're teaching and preaching the Word of God. And you know what? They're not treated very well for it, as we're going to see here in just a moment. And you know what? When you take a stand and do what God has told you to do, guess what? You're not always going to get a pat on the back. You're not always going to be the best loved person at the factory or the job where or the school where you go to. You're not always going to get applauded for it, especially if you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'll give you an example of this. When I first got saved, I started working at a place in Cleveland, Tennessee. I'm an old electrician, but I got a job as a technician. And we were running fiber optic cable and doing some other things there at an audiovisual studio. And there were carpenters, plumbers, electricians, all these construction workers were there. And the first day on the job, when I got there, I had a box of gospel tracts that I took with me to work. I got there early that morning, and I went around and gave one to every man that was on that job site. I said, my name's Bruce Fry, and I said, I just recently got saved and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I said, I know I'm going to heaven, and if you're not sure if you'd go to heaven when you died, I'd like to help you with that. Maybe during lunch, if you'd like to talk to me, you just come talk to me. And guess what? Back in those days, I ate lunch by myself a lot. Nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. But you know what? When you take a stand for Christ, that's just the way it is sometimes. And this is what happened here when Paul and Silas were preaching the Word of God. And instead of getting a hand clap or a pat on the back, they got thrown into prison. So here, as we start reading this story, I'm going to start reading here in Acts chapter 16 and verse 22. And the first point that I want to mention here, we're going to see suffering for the Savior. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ and name His name, you're going to have to suffer for Jesus Christ sometime or another in your life. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 22, it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast him into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. You know, they weren't treated very well, were they? You know, sometimes when you stand up for what's right and do what God has asked you to do, sometimes you're going to have to suffer for the Savior. You know, if you go to school or you go to work and everybody loves you, it may be that you're not standing up for Christ like you should. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Not that you might, but you shall. John 15:19, "If you are the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Philippians 1:29, "For unto you is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And if God is not doing something for you, he's doing something in you so he can do something through you and the lives of other people around you. The Bible says in Acts 19:16, "For I will shew him how great things he, Paul, must suffer for my name's sake." You know what? If you are going to be a friend of the Apostle Paul, you better get ready for some suffering some trials, because everywhere that boy went, he got in trouble. And if you're going to be his friend, you better expect a little trouble. You know, David said in Psalm 119:71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Romans 8:17-18 says, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Guess what? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. No matter what we go through here, the best is yet to come. Sometimes before God can use a person greatly, he must often bruise him deeply. And 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And it's better to suffer for the cause of Christ than for the cause of Christ to suffer. So first of all, we see here in this account in Scripture, we see suffering for the Savior. But secondly, we see singing for the Savior. Let's continue to read the rest of the story, as it were. It says, after they've been thrust in there, the Bible says in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." And I wrote in my Bible right there, God heard them too. Because look what happened next. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep." That tickles me when I read that. You know, Paul and Silas sang that old prison guard to sleep that night. Hallelujah. "And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Now, why did he say that? Because back in Acts chapter 12, the Bible states that if you were in charge of a prisoner and you lost that prisoner, it was life for life. So this guard knew, I'm done. I'm a dead man, so I'm going to do him a favor and I'm going to kill myself. But as we continue to read the rest of the story, the next verse says, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Wow. Now, how did Paul know that they were all there? You know, when I first read this, I thought, well, maybe they were all in one big dungeon together. And maybe they were just, he saw everybody and noticed everybody left. But the Bible didn't say that they saw Paul and Silas. The Bible says they heard Paul and Silas. So you know what I believe happened? This is my sanctified imagination. Paul and Silas were taken and they were thrust in there. They were treated roughly. And I can imagine there's an old boy in the cell beside him, and he's thinking, boy, that's the same way they treated me when they threw me in here. I hate it for these guys. Then all of a sudden, they hear praying. And if I know Paul and his evangelistic heart, I bet he was praying the gospel, because he knew there were people that needed to hear the gospel in that prison. And I can imagine that old boy in that cell beside him said, who in the world are they talking to? I never heard anything like that in my life. And then they started singing and said, what are they singing about? I sure didn't sing a song when I came in here. And when those chains fell out and those doors flew open, I believe one by one, all those prisoners came out of their cells and went in there to where Paul and Silas was. That's not good English, is it? And said this, I don't know what you have, but I want some of that. I believe that's what happened. And look, as we read the rest of the story, look what happened here. It says, then he, the Philippian jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Wow. All of that because singing for the Savior. Psalm 43, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praising to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The apostles were arrested for preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 5, and they rejoiced about it. Listen to these verses. Chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And Peter wrote that we should follow the example set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In fact, through our trials, we should rejoice when asked to share in the same kind of sufferings that our Lord endured. Listen to these verses, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, listen to this, church, which is to try you. If some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And 1 Peter 3:14 says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Not if you fall into them, when you fall into them, because they are coming. If you're not in one now, there's one coming down the pike. Amen? So we see suffering for the Savior. We see singing for the Savior. And then lastly here, we see souls for the Savior. Souls for the Savior. As we continue to read the story, what happens here? After all this happens, he says, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I'm going to stop right here for just a second, and I want to talk about that word believe. I was talking to a preacher about this today. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in God in their head, but they've never trusted God in their heart. That was me. 43 years, I believed that Jesus Christ was God. I believe he lived. I believe he died. I believe he rose from the dead. I believed the gospel in my head, but I had never trusted it in my heart. You see, there's a big difference between believing in God and trusting in God. Because this word believe here means to trust. Means to trust. Now, there's another word believe in the Bible. Does it mean that? In Acts chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so there's the same word believe, but it's not the same word in the Bible. The word believe here in this text in Acts chapter 16 means to trust. The word believe in James 2:19 means to have a head knowledge of something, but not a heart knowledge of something. And I'll give you an example here, the difference between believing in God and trusting in God. There was a man by the name of Charles Blondin. In 1859, he put a tightrope across Niagara Falls River. It was 1,100 feet across. If it had failed to his death, it would have been 160 feet fall. Now, this man was crazy. People asked him, they said, how do you keep from falling? What's your secret? He said, well, before I ever do a stunt, I always put a star. And as long as I keep my focus on that star, I can walk on the tightrope. I can do stunts on the tightrope. Sometimes he would take a little oven with him, and he would cook an omelet, eat it, and then he'd go on his way. But this particular day, on June the 30th of 1859, he pushed a wheelbarrow. I read two or three different accounts. I'm just telling to it best as I can. I'm not trying to embellish it at all. Some people said that there was concrete in the wheelbarrow. Some people said it was empty. We'll just say it was empty for illustration's sake, all right? So he's pushing this wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls River. there was a crowd that had gathered, and they were all cheering for him, you can do it. And there was one guy who was like the head cheerleader, and you could hear him above the whole crowd. Maybe he was saying something like, there's Blondin, he's my man. If he can't do it, nobody can. I don't know what he was saying, but he was louder than everybody. Charles Blondin is looking at his star, pushing his wheelbarrow. He's listening to the crowd, and he's thinking this thought. That crowd believes that I can do this, but that one guy, wow, he really believes in me. And so when he stepped on dry land with his wheelbarrow, the crowd went crazy. The head cheerleader went down there, grabbed him by the hand, said, I told him you could do it because I believed in you. He said, man, I could hear you above the whole crowd. You really did believe in me, didn't you? And he said, yes, sir, I did. He said, let me ask you a question then. Do you believe I can turn around and go back across the Niagara Falls River and make it to the other side with my wheelbarrow? He said, of course I do. I just watched you do it. He said, but do you believe I can do it? He said, yes, sir. He said, then get in the wheelbarrow and let's go. And that man looked at Charles Blondin and said, sir, I can't do that. And Charles Blondin looked at him and said, then you don't really believe in me. Because if you really believed in me, you would trust me. And such it is with the Word of God. You can believe in God all your life and die and go to hell. There has to come a time where you not only believe it in your head, but you trust Him in your heart. You come to Him in repentance and faith and say, yes, I believe. I trust you, Lord Jesus, you and you alone. What a wonderful thing that happened to this Philippian jailer here. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to go through a trial of life and for a lost and dying world to see you go through that trial and say, hey, there's something different about this Christian life. And that's what this whole story is about here. Going through trials of life and glorifying God through the trial. I'll be honest with you. I've been through some trials in my Christian life, and I didn't glorify God going through them at all. And when people watch me that were unsaved, they probably said, well, he really doesn't believe in his God. He's not trusting his God through this trial. Why should I? But this man trusted Christ because of it, because as we read the rest of the story, we'll see what happens. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. You see, Paul knew that God knew the rest of the story, and no matter what happened in his life, he knew God had a purpose, God had a plan, and it was for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, when Paul and Silas went into this prison, they had no idea whether they would ever get out. They had no idea whether they would die in this prison. But they didn't moan and groan and complain. They prayed and they sang praises to God. And it made a difference in the life of this Philippian jailer. It made a difference, we're going to see here in just a minute, in the life of his family. And I believe it made a difference in every prisoner that was in that prison. I can't prove that, but I believe that everybody there got saved that day. I really do. You know, Bible says in Romans 8, 28 through 30, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. You see, once you become a child of God, you don't belong to you. You belong to him. Listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit. Here it is. Which are God's. Not yours, but God's. You know, the moment that I got saved, I became property of the Lord Jesus Christ. These hands, these feet, these eyes, these ears, this talent that he's given me, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. He didn't want me to take this talent and become a country and music rock and roll star. He wanted me to take this talent so I could point people to his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he gave me the talent. You know, a lot of times, God allows us to go through the trials of life because somewhere down the road, there's somebody that you're going to be able to help because you've already been through the trial. You've been there. You've done that. You bought the t-shirt. You've wore it out, whatever you want to say. But then when somebody else comes along and is going through the same trial, you'll have compassion on them and you'll be able to help them. It's a wonderful thing because he knows the rest of the story. So let's continue to read here as we finish this out. I got to find my place here because the wind is wreaking havoc with me. There we go. He brought them out and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And here in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You know what happened? As soon as that Philippian jailer trusted Christ as his Savior, he said, boys, come to my house. I want you to tell my family what you just told me. Because, you know, once you get saved, then you want other people to be saved. When I got saved on March the 10th of 1998, just a few days later, I drove 9 hours back from Nashville, Tennessee, back to North Carolina, so I could tell my mom and daddy what happened to me, because I wanted them to have what I had. I wanted to tell everybody, my friends, my family, and I tell you what, it didn't go so well. In Nashville, Tennessee, it went like wildfire. Bruce Fry's, he's got religion. And I said, no, I don't have religion. I had that for 43 years. Now I have a relationship. Big difference. And it went through wildfire, and everybody said, Bruce Fry's lost his mind. He's gone crazy. And guess what? Nobody's knocking on my door. Nobody's calling me on the phone. Nobody wants to talk to me. Why? Because now I have salvation, and I'm trying to share it with other people who don't want to hear anything about it. But you know what? No matter who rejects me, I don't care, because I know they're really not rejecting me. They're rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're rejecting Christ himself. And so here, the Philippian jailer says, come back, I want you to share this with my family. And he spake unto them the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And it says, the Bible says, and he, the Philippian jailer, took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. You see, you don't get baptized until you get saved. And so the whole crowd got saved. What a wonderful, wonderful story. The Bible says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, did he just take Paul and Silas back to his house and wash their stripes? I don't think so. I think he took all of them. I think he apologized to every prisoner that he had done wrong. I think he asked them for forgiveness, and he said, come to my house. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to feed you. Because, see, once you become a Christian, the focus comes off of you and onto other people. Because you realize it's not about you. It's about everybody. It's about Jesus Christ and others. That's what God said. Love me and love others. You know, I have so many stories I could tell you, even this last time when I had this leg operation, but I want to tell you this story about, I went through a little trial. Not a big trial, but to me it was. It felt like it was at the time. When I was in the studio doing my Christmas CD, I started getting to the point where I could not reach some lower registers with my voice, notes that I'd always been able to hit. The producer in the studio, he said, Bruce, do we need to change the key of that song? And I said, Ed, I've always been able to hit those notes. Let's just keep working on it. I think I can get it. But see, I didn't know the rest of the story. There was something going on down here in my vocal cords that I had no idea. I had some nodules on my throat, and it kept getting worse. And I love little kids. I love talking to them. And my voice got so bad. It got so raspy. Little kids would walk up to me and I'd say, how are you doing today? And it was so rough and raspy, they'd turn around and run the other direction. It would scare little children. And everybody was giving me these remedies, you know, honey and lemon and stand on your head and do all this stuff. You know, I was trying all these things that people were telling me. And in the background, my wife said, honey, you need to go to a specialist. You use your voice for singing and preaching. You need to go to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about. You know what, men? Sometimes if we'll listen to the counsel of our wives, it'll save us a lot of time and a lot of money. I can tell you that right now. And so I finally said, okay, honey, I'll go. And I went to a throat specialist, and he took a little wire with a camera on the end of it and stuck it up in my nose and went down to my throat. And I'm watching it on this monitor here. And when it got down to my vocal cords, your vocal cords are in a V like this. And he said, Bruce, go E, E, E. And I went, E, E, E. I said, oh, that's cool. E, E, E. And he said, stop. I want to show you something. He said, there's a little knot right here. You see that little knot right there? And I said, yeah. He said, that shouldn't be there. That's why your voice sounds like it is. We need to go in there with a laser and remove that knot. It's called a nodule. I said, okay, doc. And I'm thinking, a laser in my throat? I said, doc, I'll get back with you. Because my first thought was, now, I don't know if I want to do this or not. And so I had already talked to the doctor. When I first went in the office, my first question to him, I said, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again? He said, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I said, oh, good. I got a Christian doctor. I like that. When I left there, I walked outside. I got on the phone. I called my wife. And she said, "What did he say?" I said, "Well, he said I have a nodule and he's going there with a laser and burn it off of there." And she said, "Well, did you set a date for it?" I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Honey, please go back in there and set a date for it." I said, "All right, I know I need to." So I went back in. I set the date for the surgery, and I got back in my car, and I was on my way home, and I had a little bitty pity party. Not a big one, but just a little one. And I was talking out loud. I said, "God, I don't understand why you would do this to me. I mean, I travel all over the country. I'm singing, I'm preaching, I'm doing your will. I believe that I'm in the center of God's will for my life. And why would you do this?" And then I heard myself talking, and I stopped, and I said, "God, I'm sorry. My voice doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you." I said, "Lord, you can do whatever you want to with my throat." And then I started thinking, hey, wait a minute. Maybe there's another doctor. Maybe there's a nurse. Maybe there's a patient over at that hospital God's trying to reach with the gospel. And I'm so self-focused that I'm missing the whole thing. By the time I got home, I was so excited. I went in the house. I said, "Honey, I believe I know what God's doing. There's a doctor. There's a nurse. There's a patient over there. He's trying to reach with the gospel. He's doing this to me so they can get saved." I said, "Isn't that great?" She said, "If you say so." And I said, "I'm telling you." So I started going to these, I had to go to the EKG thing and all these people that I'm meeting. I'm taking my gospel tracts. I'm taking my testimony CDs. I'm handing out. I can go over to that hospital today and everybody knows me. I mean, I didn't let anybody. I said, "God, if there's somebody over here you're trying to reach, I don't want to miss them." I tried to talk to everybody and I gave them gospel tracts. I prayed with people. I had a wonderful time. And I'm telling you this not to pat myself on the back, but God had me in such a place that I was just seeing people in a whole different way. Because I was realizing this is not about me. It's about him and it's about other people. And the day we were getting ready to go in there for the surgery, my pastor and my brother came to pray with me and my wife was there. And while they were praying for me, I was looking around that room and I said, "God, I'm not scared. I know you got this. But there's some other people in this room. They don't know you like I don't know you. They don't have the peace of God like I have." And I said, some of these people in this room are scared to death. I said, "God, while they're praying for me, I want to pray for them." And I went into the room, and my wife went back there with me. My brother and pastor left, and they took you in that room, and they make you wear that gown. Boy, don't you hate that gown. You know that's why they call it ICU, right? And so I put that thing on, and I laid down on the bed. My wife's sitting over here, and the guy comes in and he hooks all these wires up to me. He's the anesthesiologist. And he said, "Now, Bruce, I get all these wires hooked up. And when I hit this switch," he said, "you're going to go out of here. You won't remember a thing." And I said, "Hey, before you hit that switch," I said, "can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Have you ever been born again, son? You ever been saved?" He said, "No, sir, I don't think so." He said, "You know what? My wife and I just started going back to church. We've got two beautiful little daughters, and we thought it'd be a good thing to go to church." And I said, "Yeah, that'd be a good thing to go to church." I said, "But son, you need to be born again. You need to be saved." And I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, do I have any gospel tracts left or any of my testimony CDs?" See, I didn't have any pockets in that outfit that I had on. You see what I'm saying? And she said, "You've given all your CDs away, but I do have a gospel tract." She handed it to that young man. And when he saw that picture with me with the long hair singing with Hank Williams Jr. on the front of that gospel track, it was like somebody hit him with a baseball bat. And he looked at me and he went, "You're Bruce Fry?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I didn't recognize you." He said, "Bruce, I used to come and hear you sing 25 years ago in a club in Raleigh, North Carolina. And the last thing I remember before he hit that switch was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Did this happen so that he could hear the gospel? You better believe it." You know what? As we go through the trials of life, we can either go through it with a sourpuss attitude, or we can go through it like Paul and Silas did and give God the glory for it. Amen? What will people say when they tell the rest of your story? What circumstances God brought into your life to build your character? maybe a difficult relationship, a conflict at work, a physical problem, a financial problem, a job loss, maybe even a death. Are you handling the trials of life in a way that brings glory to God? Remember that whatever he allowed to come into your life yesterday has helped to prepare you for today, and what today brings will better equip you for tomorrow. Three things here real quickly. Trials are so we can learn to lean on Jesus, to correct us. Trials are to humble us, to challenge us. Trials come so we can help others, to change us. But I want you to listen to this to me, church. All trials are so we can be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Why? To be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Trials are the soil in which faith grows, and trials are blessing when we can bless God for trials. Robert E. Lee, I did a devotional about the Civil War a couple of years ago, and I found a couple of things in there, and Robert E. Lee said, God has appointed the time of my death, so I do not concern myself with that. He said, you see me severely wounded, but not depressed, not unhappy. I believe that it has been done according to God's holy will, and I will accept it and acquiesce entirely in it. You may think it strange, but you never saw me more perfectly contented than I am today. I am sure that my Heavenly Father designs this affliction for my good. I am perfectly satisfied that in this life or in that which is to come, I shall discover that what is now regarded as a calamity is a blessing. This quote was from General Thomas Stonewall Jackson following his mortal wounding at the Battle of Chancellorsville on May the 2nd of 1863. It was spoken to Chaplain Tucker Lacey, who visited him the day after Jackson's arm had been amputated as a result of friendly fire in that battle. He would die 7 days later on May the 10th. So how's the rest of your story going to read? Are you going through trials? We all are going to. But are you going through them in a way that brings glory to God? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment? And I want to ask you a question. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Bruce, I am going through some trials right now in my life. I am having a little bit of a hard time. Just between me and you and God. If that's you, would you let me pray for you? Would you just lift your hand and say, Brother Bruce, pray for me. I am going through some trials right now. Is anybody I could pray for like that today? Anybody at all? Bruce, there's some things going on in my life. I don't understand it. I don't know why God's doing it, but I want to trust him through it. Can I pray for anybody like that tonight? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Second question is this. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that if you died right where you're sitting, that you would go to heaven, would you let me pray for you? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You say, Bruce, would you pray for me? Because if I died right where I'm sitting, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I have a question about it. I have a doubt. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Again, nobody's looking around, just between me and you and God. Anybody I could pray for like that tonight? Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. Father God in heaven, I pray for these that have raised their hand, Lord. Some of them acknowledging that they're going through the trials of life. And Father, I pray that you would help them to go through these trials in a way that would bring you honor and glory. And Father, whatever it may be, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, I pray that you would help my brothers and sisters in Christ to go through these trials to where a lost world will see, you know what? They really do believe in the God that they say they serve. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. I want to play a song. While I'm playing this song, maybe you'd just like to pray and talk to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Bruce, not really going through a trial right now, but I can tell you this. I just don't seem like I'm as close to God as I used to be. Every head bowed and every eye closed. One more time. You say, Brother Bruce, I just feel a little separated from the Lord. I just don't feel like I'm as close to Him as I used to be. Will you pray for me about that? Is there anybody I could pray for like that? You just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Lord, I pray for these. Help them, Lord. Come, Thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come. And I know by Thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal, seal it for Thy courts above. Pastor.
All right, amen. Wasn't that a good night? Amen. We had some other things planned, but the Lord moved in and just took over the service, and so that's just fine. We'll let that happen. Amen. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to take an offering. I know I'm shocked to hear myself say it too. Amen. But what I'd like you to do is, if you were preparing to give an offering, would you go ahead and get some music? We want you to have good music in your home, all right? So use that money. Brother Curtin was going to give a couple hundred tonight. He might buy you a CD, all right? So, but use that money to get some good music for your home. I think that's good. It encourages your heart and helps you with your walk with God. And so use that to do that. And we'll do that the next few nights. We won't take any offerings till Sunday. And just encourage you, if you didn't tonight, bring your money tomorrow night and get some CDs and get some music. There's also some children's books, all right? And Brother Fry and his brother as well, and some others have worked on some children's books that will help your kids with their walk with God as well. So make sure you get some of them for maybe your grandkids. It may be some good Christmas gifts to put away, all right? So get some of that. We're going to have them sing another couple. That'd be all right? Okay, so we're going to have them sing a couple. And so make sure you go in the gym and check out the music table. Let's do this. Let's have a word of prayer right now. We'll dismiss with prayer. He'll sing two songs. Is that okay? Two songs. And then as soon as he's done singing, you're dismissed, and you can fellowship as long as you like. Enjoy the weather. Get some music and just have a good time. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same place. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Why don't we, Brother McPherson, why don't you stand and lead us in a word of prayer? All right, one more announcement before we go. If you would like to help clean up, please, please, please speak to Mr. Judge before you touch anything, the equipment. We want to make sure it's taken care of. Also, you may leave your lawn chairs. If you're coming back tomorrow night, you may just stick them inside the gym. That would be fine, and they'll be here for tomorrow night. Saves you carrying them to your car and back. And then one more thing. I have a box of about 100 freezies So if some of the kids would like a freezy after, or if you're a big kid and would like a freezy, you're more than welcome to have one. All right, Brother Fry.
Amen. Well, I thought I'd do this for the little ones. They were so good tonight. This is the Felton the Flying Frog song. All right. Well, Felton the Frog was known to complain. Wasn't content with a stubby frame. Hated to hop and never satisfied, but he always wanted to fly. Then he spied two crows and hatched a plan. If y'all help me, I know I can. I've got a great idea if I can use your might, sharing the joys of flight. Take a stick in your beaks and then you'll see, as a bite on the middle you can carry me. Quick as a wink they were in the air, flying high as a kite without a care. And then a fellow crow passing by blinked at the sight that caught his eye. Flew alongside to see just why a flying frog could ever survive. Now what a great idea, he was heard to say. I never saw a frog fly quite this way. Novel plan for any day. Whose idea was this anyway? And now Felton's heart was filled with pride. Saw his chance with a beady eye. He loudly proclaimed, it was I. Promptly fell like a rock and died. Now the moral here is plain to see. The credit may go to you or me. Means so little, you will agree. When seeking the glory we cease to be. Two crows and a frog, what a sight to see. Like the brothers going down in history. If he'd only kept his mouth shut tight, he'd still be bragging about his first flight. But the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen? Amen. Well, I think this is one of the pastor's favorite songs, so I'm going to sing this one to end the night with. Now and then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, hey, where you been? What's on your mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. Tell them I'm serving Jesus now and the old man is dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same, may wear the same clothes, have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside, could see inside instead. You would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. See, according to the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To live such a wicked life, I had no hope inside. I was lost in darkness and searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus. And the old man was dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same, may wear the same clothes, have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside, could see inside instead. You would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. Thank God, the old man is dead. Amen.
Let's thank them tonight. Would you do that?
Praise the Lord.